We are in November. And that means days are growing shorter and nights are growing longer. Our warm weather is slowly ebbing. Season of cold approaches. Flu season is upon us, perhaps offering us a reminder of the serious illnesses and diseases that affect our lives and the lives of those we care about. It's also a season of pre-election campaigning, and our country, if not the world around us, seems to be in a state of suspended animation, uncertain as to what the future may bring. Yes, we are in November, and it is also a season of Thanksgiving. With that in mind, we turn our attention this morning to the gospel reading. There we find a woman. She was poor. And those are the two facts anyone could tell that day in the court of women in the temple of Jerusalem. She was also a widow and down to her last two coins. This is what Jesus knew about her as he saw her in the temple. She was a woman of great faith who put her whole trust in God, not holding anything back. We do not know her name, but that's not really important. She is known only by her marital status and her coins. Her story is known as the widow's mite, and she is the widow. She had two small coins, each worth 1/400th of a shekel, or what we might think of as an eighth of a penny each. The smallest of all coins, they were the grubbiest coins in the Roman Empire. So let's imagine the scene. As a way of entering the story, imagine that it's Jerusalem, and we are in the vast courtyard outside the great temple. It is teeming with pilgrims who have come to celebrate the Feast of Passover later this week. Jesus has been teaching in these temple courts, and he is now preparing to leave. He stops and looks over the scene before him, watching as offerings are made to the temple treasury. Each person would walk up to one of the 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles, which were lined along the wall of the court of women outside of the temple. And as people would toss their offerings in, each person was expected to say aloud the amount and purpose of the gift that they were offering in order to be heard by the priests who were overseeing the collections. It would have been an impressive sight to see people in fine clothes tossing in large sums and calling out how much they had to offer. And in such a group, who would notice the widow tossing the two smallest coins in the realm into the offering? And yet, in a move that is so like him, Jesus notices and calls attention to this amazing act of faith. And then Jesus gathers his disciples together and says, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." What Jesus knows is that these are not just two ordinary coins, but the woman's last two coins. The text says these were all she had to live on. But if you read the Greek, it's even more powerful. What the Greek says is that she puts in her bios. from which we get the word biology, the study of life. Jesus is telling his disciples and us, the woman put her whole life into the temple treasury that day. Now, at this point, it's important that we do not jump to pious conclusions about what this event means for the widow or for each of us. As Episcopal priest and preacher Robert Brown Taylor notes, nowhere in this passage does Jesus praise the widow for what she's doing. He simply calls his disciples over to notice her and compare what she does with what everybody else is doing. He invites them to sit down beside him and contemplate the disparity between abundance and poverty, between large sums and two copper coins, between apparent sacrifice and real sacrifice. And Brown concludes, Jesus does not dismiss the gifts of the rich. He simply points out that the major characters that day are the minor givers, while the minor character, a poor widow, turns out to be the major donor of them all. When we look at our lives, our alleged sacrifices for Jesus, for our faith, for our church, in light of this woman's extravagant generosity, what do we see? The poor woman seems rich beyond measure, doesn't she? Something has a hold of her life which leads her to effusive extravagance. The widow is down to practically two worthless little coins, and yet she trusts it all to God. If this were a gamble, then the woman would be laying all of her money on God, but this is not a gamble, because the widow is not seeking any reward for what she has done. She is not giving her money, betting that God will give her tenfold or a hundredfold in return. What she is giving simply and profoundly is all she has. She's giving her life to God. Now, it would be nice if Mark filled in more details for us. Was Jesus' arm around the woman as he said, this widow has put in more? Or was the woman blending back into the crowd, never to be seen again? Or perhaps we could imagine Jesus asking his own keeper of the purse, Jesus Rector's discretionary fund, led by Judas Iscariot, to give something to this woman so that she would not go hungry that evening. Or better still, wouldn't it be moving if the woman became a follower of Christ, joining with the other women who journeyed with Jesus from Galilee and followed them to the base of the cross and beyond? But in reality, the gospel never asks or even poses or answers these questions. The nameless widow who gave two small coins remains just that, and she fades into the background. We may want to know her name in order to name churches or schools or hospitals in her honor, but we don't. We may want to give her a place of honor in Jesus' stories alongside disciples whose names we know, and we can't, although their trust in God wasn't anywhere near as exemplary as hers. But perhaps namelessness is appropriate for this living parable. And maybe it is best that we don't find out how her story ends. The nameless woman whose ultimate faith we never know is perhaps an even better icon of trust. For her story ends as a precarious one. She went to the temple that day not knowing if she would ever again have two little coins to call her own. It could have been her path to a life of begging, or even a station on the road to starvation. But in facing an uncertain future, the woman reaches out to God, and she trusted that if she gave everything she had to God, even the little she gave would be honored. To speculate on whether she was repaid handsomely by Jesus himself or whether God rewarded her for her faith is to miss the point of the parable. The point is, it seems to me, that she understood that she was loved by God. And so she offered what she had in thanksgiving for that love. So the reality is, whether her future was bright or sad, whether it led to life or death, she knew she was God's, and that's all that mattered. Let's then take a moment to reflect on her example. Jesus shows that what we withhold from God may matter more than what we offer. The widow was a woman of great faith who held nothing back. She knew what Jesus' disciples were just learning. That is, we are to give, knowing that everything we have is God's. So we can't give God anything that is not God's already. But we can offer our very selves to the kingdom of God, holding nothing back. You see, this is not a sermon about how much we give or how much we ought to give. It is rather a way of challenging each of us to consider in our own hearts the reasons we give in the first place, how we live our lives in response to our loving and giving God. The woman's extravagant gift ends up being a prelude to even a greater offering of love that will come 3 days later. For within days of this encounter in the temple, Jesus will give his life on the cross, trusting all he has to God's care. "Into your hands I commend my spirit," will be his last words. That act would change the world forever and give birth to the church. And so today the church still stands as a people who have been touched by the same God as that widow. People who are motivated to give in both tangible and intangible ways, giving out of thanksgiving for the extravagant love that each of us has experienced from our Lord. The church is a people called to join together, to celebrate and to worship and to give thanks to the God who has given everything to us and for us. And today we gather to remember the profound act and faith and trust offered by an insignificant widow, and to discern how her story touches ours. She was a woman, a widow. She was poor. She was a widow down to her last two coins. And she was a child of God who placed her whole life back into her Creator God's hands. Amen.